Aloha, this is Catherine Cruz. Mahalo for joining us. Hawaii Talks on the Conversation. It's Aloha Good Friday, April 18th. Today we talk Social Security. It's been around for about 90 years. President Donald Trump promised he wouldn't touch the federal program, but that's not what has happened. Complaints about the office are nothing new, and efforts have been made to improve service. But now staff is being cut, and offices are being shuttered, and those who rely on the checks are worried that they could stop coming or be delayed. Today we open our phone lines to hear your stories. Have you been on endless hold on the phone lines? What's been your experience? Today we have ARP Hawaii and the Kukua Council to hear from you about your concerns. We encourage you to call in. The numbers to reach us, 808-941-3689 on Oahu, or toll-free 1-877-941-3689 on the neighbor island.
Apply to join Hawaii Public Radio's Community Advisory Board. Volunteers from across the islands advise HPR on programming and outreach and help shape the future of HPR. Nominate yourself or someone else. Apply by May 16th at hawaiipublicradio.org/CAB.
Support for HPR comes from Nereid Hawaii, which supports nonprofits that are providing affordable housing solutions to convert renters into homeowners, such as Hawaiian Community Assets. NereidHawaii.com.
This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. The Social Security program turns 90 this year. The Social Security Act became law in August of 1935. The vital federal program provides retirement and survivor benefits as well as disability income to qualified individuals and their families. But there are fears about what the Department of Government Efficiency will do in its quest to find waste and fraud. Joining us today for our roundtable talk are Kaili'i Lopez, AARP Hawaii State Director, and Gary Simon of Kukua Council. He's also a board member of Family Caregivers Association and volunteer president for AARP. So welcome to you both.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, well, you know, the headlines today are that a judge has blocked DOGE access to sensitive personal information inside the Social Security Administration. And we are still waiting on the confirmation of a new director for the administration, and it's unclear what other changes might be made. Any thoughts about the times that we're in and what you're hearing?
I think one of the important things, Catherine, is as Congress looks at confirming the next commissioner for Social Security, is ensuring that whoever is taking the lead pays close attention to the customer service issues that I think everyone has seen being a problem. I think that needs to be a priority, and for AARP, that's something we want to absolutely ensure is being considered, is people should not have to jump through hoops. It's really a form of respect, right? If people need to have access to funds that they've paid into and are finally in need of them, it should be something that they can easily get answers to so that they can get access to the important resource.
And Gary, you know, with your work with these various organizations, I mean, what are you hearing? What's top of mind for folks?
Well, the fear is real for them. They are upset with the sudden change. There's not much public discourse. People don't have a chance to chime in. We didn't have to go through this sudden, okay, we're going to cut back on telephone service. We should have said, let's propose this, let's have a discussion. So now the fear is, what will be suddenly taken away without feedback from the public? These huge policy changes and program changes need to be discussed, because there were existing problems with customer service. So now why are we going to amplify this problem, make it just an infinite times worse without discussion. If we had had this discussion, we would not have to gone through this madness.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can share that the reason why, part of the reason why we're doing this show today is that I dropped by the Social Security office and talked to a nurse who told me that she had been on the phone for 5 hours on behalf of a terminally ill patient with a brain tumor. And bless her heart. I mean, she was an angel. But I thought, wow. And this was back in February before any of the cuts were announced. And so I talked to other people there in the office who were waiting, and they just talked about it's been, you know, several hours waiting just to get to talk to someone to get an appointment. So that's what we're doing today. We hope to be able to provide some good information and just maybe some context, and if it's maybe just some reassurance for people who might be worried about what's going on. And Kaylee, you know, you folks have been lobbying to improve service for your members, and you held a news conference recently because of the efforts to try and eliminate phone service.
Absolutely. One of the things that we saw, the Social Security Administration had indicated that they were going to require verification of your identity for services, and that they were not going to permit that to occur via the phones. And what we were able to share with both and Congress in particular, because our push for Congress was, look, you have the oversight ability on the administration. So we had actually about 3 million people participated and either called in, wrote at least 2 million messages, went to Congress, basically saying, look, have oversight of this. At least one in four kupuna don't even use the internet. So what that meant was if they couldn't use the phone, they would have to drive to a service center. Now, in Hawaii, that's difficult enough. I mean, there's one on each island. But for example, Big Island only got Hilo. There's nothing in Kona. Molokai and Lanai, they got to go to Maui. So the issue is that's not going to work. So our push was really to have Congress in particular be very aware of the issue so that they could put pressure on the administration to take care of business. That was very successful. And thankfully, the Social Security Administration reversed that decision, and that phone service is still available.
Right. And that was supposed to happen last week.
It was actually supposed to happen on the 14th.
Yeah. Crazy. I know President Joe Biden also recently made some statements about his concern with what was happening with the Social Security Administration. Let's take a listen.
Fewer than 100 days, this new administration has made so much damage and so much destruction. It's kind of breathtaking it could happen that soon. They've taken a hatchet to the Social Security Administration, pushing an additional 7,000 employees, 7,000, out the door in that time, including the most seasoned career officials. Now they're getting ready to push thousands more out the door. Already we can see the effects. For example, thousands of people use the Social Security website every single day to check on their benefits and submit their claims. But now, the technology division of Social Security Administration has been cut in half. And so the website's crashing. People can't sign on to their accounts. What do you think it does to that woman's living alone at 74 years checking, just not able to even find out whether she can't even find out what that disability claim is she has? She can't file a new disability claim.
Yeah, and that's the fear that you were talking about, Gary, right? It's just
that's
like,
right.
I need this check. I need my situation's change or whatever.
And we can do both. We can be improve our efficiency and improve our customer service. And in fact, improving your customer service does make you more efficient. So it's you don't become more efficient by decreasing in-person customer service.
Right. Well, our listeners out there, if you want to join this conversation about Social Security, we invite you to call in at 941-3689 or toll-free 1-877-941-3689
from the neighbor islands. And, you know, Kaylee, you had one of your volunteers, Kathy Nelson. She and her husband, I guess, retired in December. He got approved for Medicare, but she didn't. And she spoke at the AARP Hawaii webinar about her experience.
I thought, you know, maybe I'll inquire with Social Security on the national line. So I called the national line, made many, many attempts. I can't even count the attempts. And each attempt, I would get a message saying, your wait time is 90 minutes, 100 minutes, 120 minutes. It was way too long. And I wasn't about to hold on for that long. So through experience of trying and trying again, I realized that if I called early enough, say at 4:30 in the morning, I could get in line or in the queue for a call back 2 hours later. So that was, a successful method of being able to finally reach people there. So I ended up having four different calls from late January to February to different agents on the Social Security line. I got four different agents, and they told me four different stories of what I needed to do to get my Medicare by March 1st, which is when, you know, Medicare needed to, you know, kick in after our employer insurance terminated. So one thing that was consistent, though, when I called the first three agents, basically they told me I just have to wait. I just have to wait. And so I waited until I couldn't wait any longer.
Yeah, so, you know, you featured her story at that news conference.
Yeah, and Catherine, she was days away from losing that employer insurance and being able to get on Medicare. So it wasn't till she was able to call the local number, got a hold of someone who helped her on the phone right there and then. So again, you know, Gary talks about the fear, that anxiety of potentially losing, in her case, really important health insurance is critical. But the other thing I want to share, and I think people don't understand this, is many, many Social Security recipients or beneficiaries, whatever you want, whatever is appropriate, rely almost, I think, one in five older households almost rely entirely on their Social Security as their monthly income. So if that doesn't come in, they aren't able to make ends meet. And so the fear of potentially not receiving that. Now, we're not aware of people not getting their checks and or their payments, but that's not the point. The point is the fear that these sudden changes, the kind of back and forth, really just adds to the anxiety that people already have.
Yeah, and you know, when I was in line on my visit back in February, I was told by a lady waiting behind me that, you know, with a tip, call the local number, find out what the number is, you know, at your office near you. And Kaylee, you just called a little while ago to test it, and you got in right away.
I did. You gave me the number, and I said, you know, I'm going to, while we're waiting to go live on air, I'm going to call it. And I literally had not even a minute wait.
Okay. And then I know I tried to call earlier, and I was told, oh, 90 minutes, but, you know, so it varies, but yeah, it can work. And the people have been terrific. The staff, like when I got up to the window, they were just so kind and patient. But yeah, it's getting access to them.
Yeah. And that's the point. Once you get through to folks, they're absolutely very helpful. You know, it's not an issue of the staff who are doing the work. They're there. I actually consider them heroes in helping people get to their benefits and such. It's really AARP and others have been pushing to have Congress provide more funding so that Social Security customer service can improve.
Yeah, and then I don't know. What are your thoughts, Gary, just about, you know, the situation?
Well, we think of the world of these employees too. They're doing heroic work at Social Security on the Medicare side too. But Kathy Nelson's story Can you imagine across the nation all of these Medicare and Social Security beneficiaries just waiting? I mean, this is not an isolated case. We'd be foolish to think, oh, Kathy Nelson is the only one in the nation that went through that. No, that customer service has been poor, has been in a crisis for years.
Yeah.
And we and our government deigned to think that, okay, we're going to eliminate telephone service, which was beat back thanks to AARP. But yes, let's find a way to run in parallel paths, find efficiencies, improve customer service.
Right, at the end of the day. Well, if you're just joining the conversation, we are discussing the current state of Social Security, and we'd like to know how you're doing. We will be back after the station break, but you can join the discussion by calling us at 808-941-3689, or from the Neighbor Islands, call toll-free 1-877-941-3689.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Shane O'Neill and Rachel Koster discussed the benefits of dating.
Boys are a good source of information.
I think they're incredible.
Girl, we know different boys.
I'm Peter Sagal. Tune in for an unreliable source of information, our news quiz, this week with special guest comedian Lewis Black. That's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Beginning Saturday morning at 11.
What if there was an easy way to boost your happiness?
And so I was really hooked. I just thought, this is amazing. Like, I would never have known this if I hadn't talked to a complete stranger.
A simple habit that could open your mind, broaden your network, and brighten your day. This week on Hidden Brain from NPR.
Beginning Sunday morning at 11.
Back with the conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. My guests in studio are Kealii Lopez with AARP and Gary Simon with the Kōkua Council. And, you know, I have been covering a number of the rallies that have been held. The most recent one was the Hands Off Hawaii rally, which was held in conjunction with states all across the country. And people were drawn there by a number of reasons, but there were lots of signs about Social Security. Here's what one woman had to say.
My name's Carrie Taggart, and I'm here because I'm a Social Security recipient. It isn't just about me, though, because they're making it really harder for people to access Social Security that have problems and questions and need to start, and it makes it difficult because they're closing offices and they're cutting staff, and people are going to suffer and die waiting to get help, and that seems to be the hallmark of the Trump administration. He just doesn't care how many people struggle needlessly, and we've got to stop that.
And you depend on your Social Security checks every month?
I do. I don't know what I would do. That's like, would I be homeless? You know, that's really scary. And Social Security is not a scam. We and our employers have paid into it. This is not money from the government. They're just handling the money. And that's a big fallacy that needs to be publicized. Musk is wrong that's saying it's a big Ponzi scheme. It's we need it. And I don't want anyone to be left out who's eligible, especially people who are disabled. I just think all this is a big shibai because no money is being saved. They're just spending it on things like sending people to prison in South America. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to this country, and we've We can get through it, but it's going to be very painful, and this is needless. It has to stop now. I don't know what it's going to take.
Yeah, very passionate folks who turned out for that rally. But if you do, you know, rely on that check to come every month to pay your rent, you know, like Carrie Taggart, it's very disconcerting. We have a caller from Maui on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine. As always, thank you very, very much for the conversation. It's always tremendous. This is Nikhil Ananda calling from Hualalo on the North Shore. It's a shocking having this domestic terrorist as president. This morning, the Washington Post reported that over three dozen immigrants who were listed as dead by the Social Security Administration were forced to put them back on the alive list, and if it could happen to them, could happen to anyone in this country. So I just wanted to pass that along to you, and again, thank you for a great show.
And thank you so much for calling in. I mean, you know, and I think that's a concern, right? It's, you know, who's getting access to people's information, you know, the news today, like we mentioned at the top of the show, is that the Doge team has been prevented from getting their hands on people's information, for now anyway, at least.
Well, and he brings up a good point, and our concern would be someone being removed from the live list and not getting services. So that's something that ARP, again, is very interested in paying attention to and wanting to hear from people and be aware of what their concerns are. The other thing I would really encourage people to do, for those who are experiencing, you know, various challenges, they absolutely should take the Social Security Administration up on their inquiry. They basically say, you know, go to ssa.gov/feedback to let them know what's going on. I think they need to hear from people who are struggling. So if you've been on the phone and have had challenges, I say, you know, inundate that feedback perspective so that people hear. So definitely from ARP, we'd love to hear from people who are having struggles and challenges with Social Security. That helps us know more about where we can advocate on. Again, we absolutely agree that no one should be removed from that live list. You know, one of the things, Catherine, that I think people don't realize, and again, I hope understand, about 16.5 million older Americans have been lifted up out of poverty because of Social Security. That's 16.5 million people. Getting back to Gary's point, you know, being lifted out of poverty. And then again, those who are just using it to make ends meet. This is not something to play with. Absolutely not.
Yeah,
it's not where you should be experimenting on strategies for efficiency and such.
Yeah, you know, at that rally, I talked to a couple of retired professors, educators, and they expressed the same concern. Here's what the clients had to say.
I don't want my retirement money touched. I am depending on that. We are depending on it now.
And so you're talking about your Social Security?
Yes. Yes, Social Security.
And we're very concerned about our children. We have two children who are, and a daughter-in-law who are university professors. And we like diversity in our family, and so we dislike very much this attack on not only our democracy, but our Social Security, our education system from K through college, grad schools included. We just don't like what this administration is doing. They're great at tearing down things. They have yet to propose anything that's uplifting or positive. They are just destroying. And you know how a little two-year-old can run through the toy room and just throw things all over the place. But what you want them to do is pick up a toy and do something constructive with it and learn from it. There's none of that with this administration. It's just a bull in the China store.
You know, and to your point, Gary, remember you talked about you know, efficiency. If the goal is really efficiency, you know, let's rethink what we're doing, right? The strategy.
That's right. Yes, we can do both. You know, sometimes we think of a Social Security beneficiary and we think in the singular. We have to remember that oftentimes it's the entire family, including children, like Social Security survivors benefits, that is relying on this. So it's not only an elder issue. For younger kids that have lost a parent, they're reliant on this. We need to remember, okay, what is the genesis of Social Security? It's to protect people from going into poverty. So we need to revisit that over and over and over again. Why do we have this? And say, okay, let's stick to that mission. Let's do better on both sides, efficiency and customer service.
Yeah, you know, and our Maui caller, you know, raised the concern, you know, about the immigrants and being put on that dead list, right? I mean, who would have thought that that was something that was going to happen? I don't know. What are your thoughts, Kaylee?
I think there's a lot that's happened in the last few months that many people thought would never happen in this country. From our perspective, it's, again, everyone being diligent and engaging, right? I think it's really an opportunity for folks to say, you know, here's what's important to me. Again, when we, you know, I appreciate Gary saying that it was thanks to AARP that things turned around, but it really was the, you know, 2 to 3 million people plus that, you know, contacted their Congress members and reached out. AARP alone couldn't have done that. It requires us getting people activated, making it easy for them to reach out to their folks, and a lot of other organizations. So I think the key there is looking at, you know, again, keeping the pressure on those key points. The other thing I think that's important, and what was difficult when everything first came out, Catherine, was trying to figure out, suss through all the information flying around to try to find out what really is impacting people. And that's where we're able to, again, hear from people how long they were having to wait. The fact that Kathy Nelson, it took her a month or more to get through. Hearing those stories and hearing people's personal stories are so key. So I appreciate that you did what you did to hear from people and include that in your program today, because those real stories, hearing from people, the challenges and the pain is really the important part. So yeah. Everyone has to get involved.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a university professor up at Manoa, and he said his mother, who lives in the Bay Area, was on the line for hours, and then all of a sudden got this, sorry, no one is available to take your call now, goodbye, and was just cut off. So, you know, you're thinking, okay, am I in the queue behind, and are they on East Coast time? You know, so you start to wonder, like, you know, what are the tricks to get in? You know, one is calling the right number. If it's a local number, get access. But a lot of it is trial by error, and you don't want people to suffer needlessly, particularly, like you said, Gary, if they're worried and they're fearful.
That's right. Our elders, they're relying on this. You said it's a crapshoot. It's a gamble. Maybe I'll get in today. I'll spin the wheel. What does it say? Yes, no, maybe so, wait, goodbye.
Yeah. I did reach out to the Elder Law Clinic up at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, and I know they said they've, you know, revamped some things, and they said sometimes when they get calls, they refer them to legal services. You know, I think they've got a division or a person there who can help sort out, you know, is there something that they can do to help these people? Because I believe they dismantled the Civil Rights Office. And so if you're kind of stuck, you know, whether you're an immigrant and you show up on the dead list, you've got to have some recourse, right? You want to due process. And in some cases, people aren't getting that.
Well, and that's where legal aid, or LASH, as they say sometimes, is a good place to start for people here in Hawaii who are struggling, older adults, reaching out to the legal aid
Society of Hawaii to, in fact, look at what those what their options are. Ideally, they don't have to go there, though, right? That's what we're working towards, is having people be able to get the services they want in the time that they need. You know, so we've been talking about people getting through to customer service. The other thing that ARP is concerned about is the backlog. There's a huge backlog for people who, as Gary talked about, there's also people who have disabilities. And they have to go through, you know, they go through Social Security processes to get approved, you know, determine whether they're disabled to receive services. And the backlog are months and months that people have to wait to get a determination. And oftentimes they're denied and then they have to appeal. And that could take months as well. So there's a combination of things. There's also a backlog in that. And we would really, you know, encourage and work really hard, again, getting more funding. If anything out there, please, people here, is encouraging Congress to provide more resources to Social Security Administration to improve customer service. Get the right people there, get them trained, let them deliver the services.
And you've been working with our congressional delegation as well.
Yes, we have. I mean, so where we're very lucky is Hawaii's congressional delegation absolutely understands the importance, are doing what they can. Of course, you know, they know better than we can what those challenges are for them being kind of in the minority house at this point, not minority, but, you know, not being in the majority of congressional leadership. But knowing them, they're fighting as much as they can to protect the interest of Hawaii's residents.
And we have a call coming in from Mililani. Carol, what's on your mind?
Okay, thank you, Catherine. I'm so glad you're doing this program. I think that Social Security is so important, and I'm so upset that DOGE is in there taking a sledgehammer to the program. And I think their ulterior motive is that they want to go in there, they want to break the program. They want to turn the American public against it. And then they're going to say, you know, they're going to say, yes, it was a terrible program. It never worked well. The American public is really frustrated. And we have the solution. We're going to privatize it. We'll fix it. We'll privatize it. So they're going to break it, turn the public against it, and then want to privatize it to fix it. And I think that's unconscionable. It's a bedrock program that we have in our country. And the public has loved it up to this point. And now they're going to ruin it.
Well, we thank you for calling in and sharing your concerns. You know, I think we all are watching the political challenges that are working, you know, their way through the courts. There's so many on so many different fronts. And, you know, it's got to go through an appeals process. And then, you know, in some cases, going up to the Supreme Court. But it's a very slow fix. And the concern is what's happening now.
Right. And slow and painful. Slow and painful. You know, I think the thing to keep in mind is in the 90 years that Social Security's been around, they've never missed submitting, you know, getting people their checks. That's not happened. That's like the thing that we're especially paying close attention to, is that people are getting the funds that they're relying on. The other thing to keep in mind, you know, ARP has been and does oppose privatization and does not think that's the best approach. So again, you know, from our perspective, is just being really diligent, paying close attention, and following up. You know, whether for us it's been following up with the SSA administrators directly and letting them know our concerns, and or, again, getting the many advocates we have across the country to call into their congressional offices and let them know it's not okay. But you're right, it's going to take everyone paying attention for a long time. You know, I think the other thing to keep in mind is as we get through this, and we hope people don't lose track of, is the issue of addressing Social Security solvency. And that'll be another, you know, key issue. I think it's estimated that in 2035, benefits are going to decrease by about 20%. you know, we want to be able to have Congress pay attention to that too. So let's get through this customer service stuff, do a good job, and get people out there getting the services they need.
Okay. Well, this is The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. Our guests in our studio, Kaitlee Lopez, AARP Hawaii State Director, and Gary Simon with the Kukua Council. Are you concerned about possible changes to Social Security? You can join our discussion by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Support for HPR comes from the Honolulu Museum of Art with Homa Nights, open until 9 p.m. Fridays for art experiences, live music, film, and dining. HonoluluMuseum.org.
This week on It's Been a Minute, when a child gets sick, is a parent to blame? What about when that parent has been fed false information about how to keep their kid healthy?
What has to be understood here is that those parents are victims of the anti-vaccine movement.
How a disease that was eliminated is now spreading in the United States. This week on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Beginning Saturday at noon.
Support for HPR comes from ESI, Environmental Science International, an engineering and consulting firm specializing in assessment, remediation, and compliance planning. e-science-i.com.
You're back with The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio, and today we're talking about our Social Security program. And, you know, on a recent visit down there, because I was trying to figure out if I should take my apply for benefits sooner than waiting till age 70, and it was an eye-opener. I know that I was told that staff was being diverted from the front of the house to the back of the house to work on getting payments out for some changes that they'd made recently about people's retirement accounts, and they were trying to get those checks out first. So I appreciated, you know, that there was some, you know, sense of urgency about to make good on those people that had been waiting to make them whole. But there were just two people at the window when I was down there at the Honolulu office, and there was a sign when I showed up. They said, "Oh, as of January, you know, you can't just drop in, you know, for appointments. You have to make appointments by phone." And so that's when I realized, okay, getting important information out to people, like call the local office, don't get caught in the queue nationally. And then, Kealihi, I know that you folks said that there is a website that you can go to track the wait times on phones.
That's actually on the Social Security's website. So, I mean, they're sensitive, I think, you know, again, previously to the issue that customer service is a challenge. So if you go to the Social Security website, you can click on a link on their website that shows you what the wait time looks like. But they also, they track things such as, on average, how long are people having to wait? So they're, again, they're tracking a good bit of that. The issue is how to really, what's being done by this administration to bring those numbers down. And that's, to me, the key. It's great to track it, and it's good to know that they're doing that. I think that's a plus. The issue is now, what are we going to do to actually improve those numbers and bring that down?
Yeah, and then, Gary, I don't know if you had a wish list, you know, based on what you're hearing out in the field there. What would you like to see?
I'd like to see what Kaylee has spoken to. Congress needs to give greater funding, more bodies, train them up, because it takes a long time to become a Social Security expert, get them into the office. It's not going to happen right away, but we need to start now, because this problem has been in existence for years, and we were almost Now, why I say we collectively, the United States was about to make it worse. And getting back to those that were taken off the live list, I don't even know how you solve that problem. I'm Gary Simon. I'm not dead. I'm alive. What do you do? But that again comes down to customer service too.
Right. Right. Yeah. But you want due process for people. You can't just sorry, you don't exist.
Right. And as we said earlier, this is not the area that you test things on. People's livelihoods, that this is really the primary resource, primary source of funding that they have to make ends meet. This is not the thing to kind of figure out how to make how to improve services in one way or another. Do a test pilot. A lot of businesses, they'll pilot something to figure it out and work out all the kinks before they have it go live, right? And Social Security, again, is where people rely on this. And again, this is their money, right? Your employer and you put in these funds year after year after year. So we're not talking about somehow this is going to save the general fund or such for the administration. It's separate and apart. To me, it's just that kind of thing. It's one thing to want to make changes all over the place. It's another to be thoughtful about where should we start? Where does that make sense? And so that's what I think I believe and am hopeful that that's been, resoundingly clear. But again, we're going to just have to continue to be diligent.
I know there were stories about how there were numerous people on a list, that were, 110 years old or whatever, and still receiving Social Security. And I think there was some issue about what they were reading and whether the checks were really going out. But I think that's kind of where we were hearing that, that was the intent, is to get rid of the fraud.
Well, fraud is absolutely a concern. The funds should be going to people who are alive and need those sources. The issue on the age piece is really that there are on the list, but they're probably not on the live list, people who are definitely much older, right? They were saying 200, 110. They might be in Social Security's records, but they weren't receiving payments. And so there's processes that Social Security has put in place to validate that someone is still, in fact, able to. In fact, I think that even happened to my mother. Sometimes people get mail and they just kind of don't pay attention. And the question was, hey, you need to respond to this so that we know you're still alive. My mom did get removed.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we worked to have her put back on. The back payment was made. So it's not like, that funds in those instances where you have those high ages, that those people were getting paid. The point of their system was that they can't take them off the list, but they weren't receiving compensation or payment through Social Security. Fraud is a real issue. Our concern at AARP, though, is that this confusion and flurry of all of what's happening actually makes it ripe for people who are scammers to, in fact, scam a senior citizen or an older adult to be able to say, hey, I'm with Social Security. We call it imposter scams, where they make like they're with the IRS, right? Someone's anxious about what's happening. They get a call. Someone says, hey, they're with IRS. I can help you with your service, help you with your challenges. Give me your information, and boom, they've lost, even more of their resources because they'll tap their bank, they'll go wherever they can.
Yes.
So the challenge with, again, when there's a lot of confusion and anxiety, is a ripe environment for scammers to take advantage of folks. So the other thing I would add, Catherine, to people, is in truth, the Social Security Administration will not call you. They will not call you. They will not ask you for your personal information. You know, so anything like that, please, please, you know, be extremely cautious.
Yeah, you know, I happened to see some recent figures from the FBI on the fraud nationwide and in Hawaii, and it was really astounding to see the losses just in the first, what, 3 months of this year. You know, people don't realize that when folks prey on the elderly on our kupuna, they're very clever, and they can really trick you out of your savings,
life savings in some instances. And the challenges for older adults is it's a little bit hard sometimes to go back out into the workforce to try to make up the funds you lost. So it's not that younger people don't get scammed as well. It's just that it's usually not a lot, right? Because they haven't built up the funds. And mostly in those cases, if they are defrauded, they're still working and can bring in their income. These people have really perfected their craft, and I hate to call it that. And we also don't like to call people who have been scammed victims, because the truth is these people are very good at what they do, and almost anybody and everybody out there can be scammed. As soon as you think you can't be scammed is when you're letting your guard down.
Okay. Anything else that you think would be important for our listeners to keep top in mind? Pay attention, I guess, to just current events so we know what's going on, because things are happening fast.
Now, these scams, they don't only come by telephone now. They have perfected their mail. These scammers and their mailing envelopes, they all mimic U.S. government seals. So watch what you do receive in the mail, and if need be, don't call the number in the mail, call the number on the government website. If it's a scam, that number in the mail that you suspect might not be kosher, it might be, you're right, it might be. So go to another site and call there. I have a letter. Mm-hmm. Is this from you? They have perfected avenues to get to you.
The other day, I got a email from Costco saying my membership was up, and I'm going to be there this afternoon. I just pay it. I go up there, and they said, we don't send you an email about your membership. We send you a letter in the mail, which was interesting. And I was like, oh, and they said, yeah, you're good till the end of the year. So somebody was just trying to, you know, get me to pay online on my phone. Yeah.
And they call it phishing for a reason, right? It's like they throw the line out there, bait you, and try to reel you in. And that's where, again, don't take the bait if you can at all. And again, it's just a matter of they use fear. They use fear and pressure. I mean, they literally... So I'd love to do a show at some point, totally unrelated to Social Security. It's called Cryptocurrency ATM Scams. They will have people on the phone and walk them through the process and reassure them this is not a scam and separate people from thousands of dollars. So again, people, I think it's underreported. I think people are ashamed. It's hard to get people to tell their real stories about having been basically taken advantage of by these individuals. So, anyway, back to Social Security. Again, it's a ripe environment for it. People should, again, pay close attention. Gary talked about those potentially, you know, not real Social Security notices, but if they are Social Security notices, again, go to your government web, go to SSA.gov. Look at the information there and validate information there. If you haven't created your own My Social Security account, if you can or get help to do that, that's another secure way of getting information that you need. And you're able to look at it all the time. I mean, you can go and see how much, if you retire at 67, how much you're going to get. And if you wait till 70, here's how much you're going to get.
Yeah, it's really I've been getting those in the mail. And mm-hmm. Someone said, yeah, you need to check it because make sure that the numbers don't change and you have, you know, a hard copy of that. But no, it's all these important things to be aware of, you know, as you prepare to you sign up for those benefits or if you're, you know, receiving them right now.
Right. We're all for rooting out the fraud. But if the government thinks an account is fraudulent, verify and then re-verify. Don't put the live person on the dead list. Don't disrupt, delay, cut their benefits. Because for the second time, I don't know how you prove you're undead.
Mm-hmm. It's a nightmare to get off that list, right?
Yeah.
Well, you went through the process, right? So, I'm just trying to think, too, if, you know, here in Hawaii, we have so many families who are just reliant, like you mentioned, just on those checks. They don't have a 401k. They don't have a retirement program. And so it's really life or death. You need your medicine. You need to keep a roof over your head. You know, so.
Right. They're living hand to mouth. They're waiting for that. They're usually out of money before that check is arriving. So they're just one foot away from being on the streets.
Is there any other a place that you can suggest that people go to?
Well, for sure, I think just, you know, one, for those who are trying to get support and assistance through Social Security, they should definitely call the local office number rather than the 1-800 or 888 number to get the national office. If you're really wanting to get direct service that I think is really quick. Kathy's point was she finally got a hold of someone locally, was able to be helped right there on the phone. And again, I think she was like only days away from losing her health insurance. So I think calling the local office if you can is the best.
Yeah, you know, and I know when I was up at the window and like I said, I asked the worker, you know, are you guys okay in your office? And she said, I just don't know how they can cut anybody. We have so few people working right now. And so, yeah, you feel for them because they're under a lot of pressure and they do want to help people, mm-hmm. you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Any final thoughts?
No, thank you for having us. It is a big issue. As KD said, let's keep our eyes on the ball because we've got till 2035 to figure this out on the solvency of Medicare in 10 years. 10 years is very short in terms of congressional legislation. We need to keep our eye on it and push.
Yeah, I know, because we want to make sure that there's money when it's time to collect, right?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is for young people to understand that. So a lot of young people think Social Security won't be around. And the truth is it will. It will, but it needs to be improved upon so you don't have that 20% cut or even more significantly when they get to the point where they need it. So we all need to. I love the fact that people need to think about it's not just about me and my Social Security benefits coming up. It's my children, my grandchildren, and further.
Right. And the whole idea is to keep people out of poverty. This is a safety net that was created 90 years ago. We want it to continue. But people have to pay attention to what's going on. To be real clear, reach out to our congressional delegation, reach out to AARP, or legal aid, if they have any issues. But again, thank you so much, both of you, for joining us here today.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine.
Important issue. We would like to thank our guests, Gary Simon of the Kukui Council and Kaylee Lopez, AARP Hawaii State Director. And we thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. Coming up next week, the Merry Monarch Hula Festival kicks off. We do welcome feedback. Call 808-972-8217 or email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. You can find the conversation on Spotify, Apple, or on our website. Our program is produced by Maddie Bender, Lillian Song, and D.W. Gibson with support from Savannah Harriman-Pote. The Backyard Quiz theme written for us by John DeMello. Theme music courtesy of Gypsy 808. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us on Monday. Pick up the conversation.